The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
I know everybody loves salary cap drafts, and if you don't love it, it means you haven't done one. So you should, because they're awesome. We're going to give you some tips right now. Dan Schneier just loves it too much. A little bit unhealthy love, I'd say, with salary cap drafts. But here we are, Dan Schneier. Sorry, I introduced you wrong. Welcome to the mailbag episode, everybody. Hope you're having a great weekend. I'm Adam Azer, joined today by fake Mets fan Dan Schneier.
You know, that was one of the most regrettable moments I've had on stream history, and that dates back through my time with 24/7 Sports doing streams about the Giants. It's been a wild last 2.5 weeks, as Adam can attest to, as we try to get this draftathon rolling and all the events around it. And I've had to tune out pretty much everything but our content and everything I'm working on. So it was a bad moment for me, but I made up for it the next night watching every single pitch. I'm going to a game again, my second of the season. So I have a long way to go to make up for it. I got a long road, Adam, but in the end, I'll prevail.
Yeah. So what are we talking about? Dan described himself to me as a quote, diehard Mets fan. And we were on the stream on Monday night, and he did not even know they were playing, which is fine. Like, that happens sometimes, but they were playing the Yankees, and he didn't even know that. So this is fine. You know, I love the way you're owning it. I love the way you're owning it. Also, if anybody wants to make a parody of the song Higher by Creed, in honor of Dan Schneier, I would love to hear it. So I'll just leave it at that. There's no podcast league spot up for grabs or anything. But if you want to make one, I'll play it if it's good. All right, Dan, we've been talking a lot about Tyron Smith. And just as we started the show, a report pops up on my phone here that Dak Prescott talking about a big pass-catching role for Tony Pollard. But anyway, what's your take on the Cowboys, who have been the efficiency for Zeke, the efficiency for Dalton Schultz, for Tony Pollard? It has been down significantly without Tyron Smith on the field. So with him missing most of the season, it seems, what do you think about the Cowboys right now?
Yeah, I think he might miss the whole season. They say it's going to be 3 months, but this is not an injury that's easy to come back from. And Dave Richard did a great job of outlining this on his Twitter. You guys should check out his account, because he showed the efficiency drop off of the Dallas Cowboys, specifically Ezekiel Elliott, without Tyron Smith in the lineup. That's who it's going to hurt the most, Ezekiel Elliott. And that goes for Tony Pollard as well. I think that is also based on kind of the past, and now I think it could be even worse. The Cowboys have had some options. I know in the past they've kicked Lyle Collins over there, who's no longer with the team, a really good tackle, went to the Bengals this offseason. Now I think the plan might be to put Tyler Smith, the rookie first-round pick, in there, or at least give him a chance. And from all the film that I saw in college, he's a very Trevor Penning-like prospect. That was the other first-rounder, went to the Saints. In other words, very handsy, very penalty-prone, better on the inside at guard. And now if they try to kick him out to tackle, because they don't really have any other options after letting Lyle Collins go, having to put Terrence Steele over at right tackle, the depth there is nothing what it's been. It's going to be a problem, in my opinion. And they're going against an NFC now, the division. There are a lot of good pass rushers in that division, with Kayvon Thibodeau on the Giants, Chase Young coming back for Washington, and obviously Washington has other pass rushers there, the Eagles as well. I think it's going to be a problem all season, Adam. I am downgrading Zeke the most, but I am downgrading the entire Dallas Cowboys offense after this news.
And Tyler Smith it doesn't appear he, I'm trying to look this up. I don't think he's the youngest player from the NFL draft, but he's one of the youngest players. He is 21 years old, 21 and a half, basically. So that's a tough task if he's going to be the starting left tackle. Tony Pollard apparently going to get more work in the passing game. It's not something we talked about on the Friday show. So I guess I've been skeptical that Tony Pollard is really going to have any start-worthy value if Zeke is healthy.
Same.
But and I still remain skeptical. But what do you think? Do you think, like, I get the upside. If Zeke gets hurt even without Tyron Smith, because Pollard, yes, his efficiency dropped, but it was still really good. It was 4.5 yards per carry, down from like 5 yards per carry with and without Tyron Smith, something like that. I still think Tony Pollard, you know, could win you the league if Zeke gets hurt or struggles so bad that they bench him, which I think is really unrealistic. But I am skeptical that he has any start-worthy value when Zeke is healthy, which is why I would take a guy like Kareem Hunt over Tony Pollard. But with Prescott hinting that Pollard could be more involved in the passing game, does this change anything for you?
Nothing. I think me and you have been pretty in line on Pollard's value the entire offseason. I don't think me or Adam just is interested in paying this premium for Pollard. You can get guys like Pollard much later. Kenneth Gainwell, Darrell Henderson. And I don't know if I see enough of a difference between the Pollards of the world and the Henderson. You're paying less of a premium. And same goes for the Gainwells, even Hines, for example, right? Like Nyheim Hines is a great example of this. What's so different about Tony Pollard than Nyheim Hines that Tony Pollard should be going that much higher?
Oh, you know what it is.
That much more.
It's that people don't,
the offensive.
No, it's that people don't believe in Zeke, and Zeke keeps getting hurt.
Sure.
You know, he played hurt 2 years ago. He played hurt last year. And
but if
Pollard,
he's,
if Jonathan Taylor gets hurt and Zeke get hurt, Pollard goes ahead of Nyheim Hines by several rounds.
I guess, but I'm not so sure they would lean completely on Pollard there. I don't know if he's proven at any point in his career that he can be a workhorse for them. He wasn't a workhorse in college. MMC is not a workhorse in the NFL. So, I mean, I guess that's the case, and I understand that. And I understand the idea of Zeke breaking down, but let's just listen to Jerry Jones on this, the owner here who's paying Zeke all that money. He's like, the offense runs through Zeke.
Yeah.
And I think we already saw last year, as you just pointed out, Adam, even if Zeke's hurt, he's going to play. So I don't know, you know, unless it's obviously a major season ending injury. So I just don't understand the premium for Pollard.
Yeah. Round six. I mean, it's rich for a guy who you might not be able to start unless there's an injury, and then we know the enticing upside. But he's going just ahead of Kareem Hunt and Chase Edmonds. And I think at this point, you know, if you're just looking for a starter, it makes more sense to take the other guys. If you just want a lottery ticket,
yeah.
I can't say he has more upside than Kareem Hunt. I mean, if Nick Chubb gets hurt, Kareem Hunt's going to be amazing. So,
all right.
Let's promote some really important things. This is all for St. Jude, all the benefits St. Jude, and for you guys, you to have fun as well. So we've got this best ball tourney, and we've got this poker tournament. Best ball starting now. If you can get in a league, you still have time to enter the league, but you know, I think they're starting today, the leagues, and the poker tournament is next Monday or Monday night, the 29th Monday night, not next Monday, this upcoming Monday. Tell us about them, Dan, and how to get in.
Yeah, let's start with the best ball tournament. It's an FFT Invitational. We already have 300 people, about 300 people signed up. So we'll be competing against 300 of your friends and fans of the show, listeners of the show, and us. Few of us are going to get involved in that. I think most of us are going to get in on that, if not all. And so basically, that's going to be an awesome Scott Fish best ball style tournament. We suggest a $10 donation to St. Jude, but whatever you want for that is cool. We're going to have prizes in that as well. If you already signed up via the eBay page, because we tweeted that link out first, please, please reach out to me and Adam. We're having a little bit of trouble with the eBay page of connecting everybody and getting everyone's email. If that's you, and I know some of you have reached out, we will get you set up immediately. All you need to do is reach out to us via our DMs on Twitter, me and Adam, or via the fantasy football email, and put best ball in the fantasy football email that you send to us normally with your questions. And then we'll have your email address and we'll get you signed up immediately for our best ball tournament. Now, the poker tournament, this is my domain. I am really excited about this. This is this Monday night. The poker tournament this Monday night, it will be a live stream that me and Adam are doing. I'll be commentating on all of Adam's horrific plays, and boy, does he make some bad.
Wait, I'm playing
plays
in it now?
I mean, oh, you're playing. You might be hosting in it. I'm trying to force him to play in it. We'll see if he plays in it. He's definitely hosting with me, but if it's not Adam, I'll be commentating on everyone else's plays. We'll have an observed table so we can put your table out there if you're in it. We'll have like a feature table, kind of like a World Series of Poker thing. So we'll be able to watch you. You'll be able to watch yourself play. We'll talk fantasy. We'll talk poker. And this is going to be a suggested donation to St. Jude of $100, just like we did it last year. please, if you've already made the donation and on our Tiltify page, that's where we're going to be pointing everyone to. If you didn't leave your email, then please contact me and Adam again via the fantasy football email address or DM me or Adam. That's the fastest way, I would say, on Twitter. Our Twitter handles are right here on the screen. Otherwise, yes,
For those of you who are not watching, at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R, at Dan Schneier, NFL, that's a lot of vowels here, at Dan S-C-H-N-E-I-E-R, NFL. And you can also email us fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. That's the letter I, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
And if you haven't already signed up and want to play in the poker tournament this Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, please go to our Tiltify page. Reach out to me. Adam just tweeted it out. And in the comments after you make your donation, please put your email address. This is the key, because once we have all your email address, we're going to send you an email with registration details on how to play, everything of that nature. Prizes will be a spot in the Listener League next year with all FFT people. That went for $5,000 on our auction eBay. So if you want to get in on that and you don't have to bid for it, you could just win this poker tournament, as well as a spot potentially. A few other great prizes we're going to go over as we send out the details. So please, if you're interested in playing poker, reach out to me. I will get you all set up. I can do it over this weekend. I have a wedding on Saturday, so you might get some drunk DMs back, but they will have all the details and everything you need to know. So we're really looking forward to it. Again, all donations, all proceeds go to St. Jude Children's Hospital this draft-a-thon, and it's really fun. I can't wait to play poker with some of you.
Yeah. Also, we have two other podcast leagues that we started. Heath has a 14-team league. I have a 12-team league. You can bid on spots in those leagues on our eBay page. There's a link in the episode description. I'll put a link right now in the YouTube chat. All right. We're going to play a game called Favorite and Least Favorite. I'm going to give you a group of four. In one case, I'll give you a group of five. And you tell me your favorite in this group and your least favorite in this group. Joe Mixon, Najee Harris, Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones. Favorite and least favorite. Mixon, Najee, Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones.
Favorite for me, Dalvin Cook. Least favorite for me, this is one that's people not going to like, Najee Harris.
Okay, favorite for me is Joe Mixon. Least favorite is Aaron Jones. So where's
Jones is my second least favorite. I go back and forth with Jones and Mixon. I like the floor for Mixon. I just hate for Harris, but I hate the ceiling right now.
Okay. I struggle with Cook just because I think he's going to be awesome, and he is awesome, but
the injury.
I just feel like he could be breaking down. Just even last year, I mean, I feel like that he missed four games, I think, last year, and there's just more times where he hobbles off the field. And yes. It's just kind of scared me a little bit.
Low key was the least efficient season of Cook's career, by the way.
Yeah. All right. Next group is Mike Williams, Jalen Waddle, Cortland Sutton, and Allen Robinson. Mike Williams, Jalen Waddle, Cortland Sutton, and Allen Robinson.
I know me and Adam have the same favorite here. Although I do love three of these players anyway, my favorite is Cortland Sutton. Everything I hear from Broncos camp, and I have a little bit of a Broncos insider, someone who's been at camp every day, and he's just like, look, every single time Russell Wilson gets in trouble, he's looking Cortland Sutton's way. It's not any kind of split. He's like, there's a clear wide receiver one and wide receiver two here. So Cortland Sutton, put him as my favorite. My least favorite is Jalen Waddle. Look, I love the talent. I really do. And everything about his profile as a fantasy talent is great, but I just don't trust right now Tua Tagovailoa to support a two-man passing game in an offense that at least schematically is based on the run. I love Allen Robinson there with Matt Stafford, and I love Mike Williams this year. So for me, it's Waddle last.
That was not the best pronunciation of Tagovailoa that I've ever heard.
I was hoping you wouldn't catch that. I was really hoping you wouldn't catch that.
I caught it. I caught it.
For the first like 2 months of him in the NFL, I was spelling his name wrong in headlines when I was on the NFL team, and that was an absolute disaster. Shout out Aaron Gray for helping me fix those.
Sutton is my favorite here too, a little bit ahead of Mike Williams. And now I struggle with Robinson and Waddle. I'm the only one in the CBS world, I think, that struggles with this because everyone loves Allen Robinson. But gosh, I just can't ignore how bad he was last year. The situation is so much better. I mean, he should be the wide receiver too. You know, I don't think Van Jefferson's taking that. And whenever Beckham gets there, if they sign him, that's coming off a serious injury and later in the year. So I guess I'll put Waddle last, but man, like I was watching some Waddle tape.
Oh, he's a freak.
I mean, that's the thing. He doesn't even need a great quarterback. He didn't have that great of a year from a yards per catch perspective. And he basically was like Jarvis Landry. But later in the year, you started to see some more big plays. And what he can do that Allen Robinson can't is take a, you know, 7-yard pass
right.
and run 50 yards. Allen Robinson, I really feel like, is going to have to catch the ball in the end zone. And he could yeah. do that a lot. So I do struggle with it a bit, but I will say I'll put Allen Robinson ahead of Jalen Waddle.
That's very fair.
All right, quick time out here. I want to talk to you all about Indochino, the best suit I've ever bought, and it's not even close. This Indochino suit I have, I wear it to any special occasion. I wore it to my rehearsal dinner. I customized every single detail of it. I want you to love a suit or any piece of clothing the way I love my Indochino suit. And what I want you to do is go to Indochino.com, Indochino.com, and use the promo code FFT to get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more. Indochino, by the way, is not just suits they have. I'm looking at the website right now. Casual wear, blazers, pants, shirts, outerwear, accessories, all that stuff on Indochino. But really, what I want to express to you is how great it is to have a custom suit, one that fits you absolutely perfectly, and you can design every detail. You pick the color of the fabric, the monogram on the inside, all these things that make your suit uniquely yours, and you're going to be fired up to wear it. So go to Indochino right now, and people pay so much more for their custom suits, but they start at just $449, and premium fitted shirts start at just $89. So again, design your perfect suit with Indochino. Get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more. Use the promo code FFT at Indochino.com. That's Indochino.com. Promo code FFT. Gabriel Davis, Deontay Johnson, Jerry Jeudy, and DK Metcalf. Favorite and least favorite here. Gabriel Davis, Deontay Johnson, Jerry Jeudy, and DK Metcalf.
Okay, despite what I just went over with the camp report, it's close for me between Gabe Davis and Jeudy, but I have Jeudy first. I really just love this Broncos pass game. You know, you give me a pass game where it's hard to bake in projections because these players haven't had a quarterback anywhere near the level of Russell Wilson at any point in their career. So it's really hard to rank them high based on that when you go for these initial rankings. And so I just think there's so much value to these types of situations. And I've always loved Jeudy as a prospect as well. And he looks healthy so far. I just think that whole passing game. So Jeudy, slight edge over Gabe Davis for me. Last for me is DK Metcalf. I get it. Look, the talent is there. I understand. And the sample size of him with Geno Smith was not bad last year. It was pretty good. But then I look at this year and I'm like, how many times are we going to be watching this Seattle game with a coach like Pete Carroll, who just wants to grind to a 13-9 game at all times and just a slew of punts coming in a division that has a lot of tough defenses. It's not for me. And I'm just out on Metcalf entirely.
I think I'm going to have to say Metcalf is my least favorite, and I really struggle with Davis, Deontay Johnson, and Jerry Jeudy. Is Deontay Johnson going to be the same type of target hog he has been?
Right.
I really don't know. I'm going to say no.
I don't either.
Yeah, this is a tough
group. I love his talent, though.
I wish Gabriel Davis were going later, but he's got a lot of helium right now. I'm going to say my favorite in this group is Deontay Johnson.
Okay.
He's really the only one who's proven anything, and I can't overlook that.
Yeah.
You know, Gabriel Davis, I don't even know if he has a 500-yard season. I don't think he does. Jerry Jeudy has not proven anything, so I will reluctantly say Deontay Johnson, although it's certainly closer in anything that's not full PPR. I do expect him to have a pretty significant catch advantage over Gabriel Davis. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Alan Lazard, Christian Kirk, and Elijah Moore. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Alan Lazard, Christian Kirk, Elijah Moore. Who's your favorite?
Yeah, anyone who's seen me draft this year or anyone who was in my home league auction last Saturday knows that this one is a clear-cut winner for me, Adam. I think this guy is improperly ranked, and that's Amon-Ra St. Brown is my clear-cut favorite of this group.
Wow.
Not even close. Not even close with these other three. Amon-Ra St. Brown is essentially Cooper Kupp light, and he's in an offense with a quarterback who made Cooper Kupp before Cooper Kupp's full breakout, made him a pretty damn good high-end wide receiver 2, back-end wide receiver 1. We're all just seem to be forgetting what Amon-Ra St. Brown did over those last 6 games, or what was it, 4 game or 6
no,
games?
Six.
I don't remember. I think it was 6.
It was 6.
Pretty large sample size. I get it. Hawkinson's back and Swift is back. Doesn't matter. Those two aren't going to completely deflate what he was able to do. When you do what he did over those 6 games, I think he was wide receiver 3 overall. Correct, Adam?
Yeah, yeah, it was right around there. It was top five for sure.
Almost, yeah, it was top five. I think it was wide receiver three. It proves that you have the capability of having that kind of season or that kind of stretch run. None of these other guys in my mind have proven that whatsoever, though Elijah Moore is a sick talent, but I just don't love his situation as much. So for me, it's a clear Ross St. Brown as the one. The last one's tough for me. I think just based on my rankings, it's Christian Kirk. But I mean, you can make case for any of the three, I think, to be right, ranked right around that. I think Alan Lazard is the lowest floor, but also probably, or I'm sorry, the highest floor, but also probably the lowest ceiling. So I'd probably go with Kirk as my least favorite.
Man, this is so tough for me. I'm going to say Amon-Ra St. Brown is my least favorite.
Wow, what's you and Dave hate? Amon-Ra
I like Amon-Ra St. Brown more than Dave, Jamie, and Heath. I've always tried to kind of stick up for him. I think if he had been drafted earlier in the NFL draft, people would buy into him more, but he was a day three pick. Right. I think he hurts Hockenson a lot more than Hockenson hurts him. And I do think he's pretty good, but I think I picked these groupings, by the way, because I really could see a case for any of them, any of these guys in these groups as number one. Except I don't think you can say DK Metcalf number one in that previous group, but
no.
But like this one is probably the toughest. So I'm going to say St. Brown is my least favorite, and I'm going to say that Alan Lazard is my favorite. I would go Lazard, Kirk, Moore, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think the other guys, Lazard, Kirk, and Moore, have more downfield ability, can give you more chunk plays, and score more touchdowns. Maybe not Moore, but the other two. St. Brown.
Lazard. Downfield Lazard?
Yes, I think he can make some plays downfield. And most importantly, I think he can make some plays in the end zone. I think that's...
Red zone's big for him.
That's the appeal for Lazard. The fifth group is five running backs. CEH.
Oh, you screwed me on this one. Go ahead.
Why? Oh, okay.
You know why.
CEH, Damian Pierce, Elijah Mitchell, Miles Sanders, and Devin Singletary.
Oh, I've been trying so hard to come off this player. I've been on him for 3 years. The talent isn't there. I get it. But CEH is my clear-cut favorite in this. I just don't understand how we're just completely overlooking that he's getting 80% of the first team reps this offseason. Pacheco's mixing in sometimes. McKinnon's taking some of the passing downs, not even all of them. Red zone, it seems like it's been mostly CEH, so that will mix in. We have a Chiefs running back who's taking 80% of the snaps, who has former first round value, though that was obviously overdrafted, but he's still a player who can make quick cuts, who can set up defenders, and who has passing game experience and was really good at LSU as a passing game specialist there. So it's CEH to me as my favorite of this group. My least favorite has been and will be Devin Singletary. I don't care that he's playing most of the snaps in the preseason.
Every argument you just made for CEH applies to Devin Singletary.
No, because the difference is the Bills have a quarterback who runs in the red zone, and the Bills are also an even more pass-heavy team than the Chiefs. So that's the biggest difference.
They're both very pass-heavy.
They are both very pass-heavy, but the Bills take it.
And neither of these guys are third-down backs. McKinnon is, it seems, clearly the third-down back.
Correct, but at least CEH can do it. I don't know if Singletary has the same. And at least CEH has shown more in the passing game in his past, though not as much in the NFL, which is fair. Look, I understand there could be a massive blind spot with me with CEH. I have overdrafted him for two straight years, and he has been a massive disappointment. But now the EDP has dropped to such an insanely low level to me. It's like, I wouldn't love CEH if I had to take him in the fourth or fifth round. Like, even last year, he was going even higher. I think it was like second or third by the end of it. And the first year, my God, that was like first round. But now it's like seventh round. CH is still there. It's like, what am I really taking the Miles Sanders over him? I don't know. And for me, Singletary last because James Cook is an actual talent. He's the best talent on this Bills roster. And by the end of the season, I think Singletary will be in a role that we all are regretting if we drafted him high.
Okay. So I'm going to say it's a tie for first place between Clyde and Elijah Mitchell.
Ooh, Clyde in there.
Yeah. He is going to, I think, score some touchdowns this year. I think he's going to be their goal line back. But Pacheco looks like he might just be a better running back. But, you know, it's really not a lot of sample there. Mitchell is, to me, far and away the best running back on the 49ers. In fact, I don't really like their running back depth. You know, they've got guys, but I don't know that they're any good. And I'm going to say that Miles Sanders is my least favorite, even though I actually really like him because he's sliding, but he's hurt right now and he's always hurt. I think when you talk about a player I do think he has a lot of talent, and I think he's going to be on a hell of an offense with the best offensive line in football or one of them. If you can get Miles Sanders in round 8 or later, and I think it's realistic, I do, because of the injury, I think that could be a great pick. But he just can't stay freaking healthy, and it's really annoying.
Can we talk a little about Damian Pierce? Because we didn't mention him, and he's in this group, and neither of us mentioned him. I mean, this is the big name of the fantasy offseason right now. He's skyrocketing up draft boards. For Pierce, it's interesting because me and Dave do the draft profiles every offseason, the fantasy draft profiles, where we watch the film on these guys. And Pierce's film is phenomenal. I mean, he's showing it in the preseason. But I can't buy in at him because, one, he's on a Texans offense. Two, his draft capital. I mean, take a look at that. That's not a great sign, but that's less so important for running backs. But more importantly, he's never handled the workload at the collegiate level. Yeah. So it's so hard for me to buy into this idea that he can handle this massive workload that he's going to need for where he's being drafted now. I've seen him be drafted as early as the 5th round in some of these mocks we're doing. So I don't know. Where do you stand on the Pierce hype?
Well, I do want to point out that he did not face 49ers first teamers on Thursday night.
Right.
They basically started a lot of their first team offense, but their best defensive players were sitting. So we still haven't seen what he can do against, you know, first team run defenders. Obviously he looks better than I thought when I looked at him at Florida, you know, during the draft process. He didn't really seem fast to me. Seemed slow. He seemed like a big physical goal line back kind of guy, but he doesn't look like that. He looks different right now. So I'm impressed. I'm impressed he has zero competition, in my opinion. Not to say he's going to get every carry. Nobody does that, but he'll be the lead guy. Josh Jacobs is another player who never showed the workload in college, and in his first game, he had like 20-plus carries or something like that. So I'm not super worried about that. I do think he's a good pick in round 6 or later. But I did say Clyde and Mitchell are ahead of him, so... You know,
and you get those guys around 7 routinely,
right?
Or 8
so I mean, that sounds a little. So I think you could take any of those three guys in round 6, but actually, I'd say round 7 would be better for all of them. At round 6, you're at the end of the must start wide receivers. You're at the end of the Bateman,
right?
Juju, right? Still in round 6, you're at the point where I probably like the wide receivers better than the running backs. So I don't know that I want to take these guys in round 6. I would guess I would say round 7 would be better. But I think Pierce is just going to crush the Texans competition. I think he's going to have a pretty good year. And the running backs who often emerge from the dead zone, it's not uncommon for them to be rookies, you know, like Elijah Mitchell, like Jonathan Taylor, you know. And
correct.
All right. So that's my thoughts on Damian Pierce. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk salary cap. Read your questions. Also, I'd like to point out the draft board behind me if you're watching on YouTube. Dan Schneier does have a team.
Not enough receivers for me on that team.
So you've got your first two picks were Saquon Barkley and Kadarius Toney.
Oh, yes.
Your third round pick was Ezekiel Elliott. I thought you got back on track with Zeke in round 3, but then you went with Daniel Jones in round 4. You went with a former Giant, Odell Beckham, in round 5.
He's coming back.
You went with a guy who plays in the same stadium as the Giants in Breece Hall in round 6. That was a steal.
That's a steal.
Curious pick of Daniel Bellinger in round 7. You took Tyrod Taylor just to lock up the Giants quarterbacks in round 8. You have Kyle Juszczyk in there. That was interesting. Then Sterling Shepard. Drake London's on your team. That
Sterling
was good.
Shepard going to lead the Giants in targets this
you
year.
You do have Ricky Seals-Jones, so you have the Giants tight end room corner there.
Good, because they cut Ricky Seals-Jones.
Well,
so.
He was the only other.
Can I trade him for Tanner Hudson?
He was the only other sticker that I had of Giants tight ends. But anyway, Dan Schneier is represented. We'll take
fun
a break.
Fun fact, Adam. Fun fact real quick before the break, Adam. I am only blocked by one famous athlete and celebrity. And you know who that is? Blocked on Twitter. Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, really?
Such a baby. I think I said a couple things that he determined were mean, and then I check one day and blocked.
That is so funny. I got to get a better story. I got to get the full story on that at some
point.
You'll
get the full story.
Let's talk salary caps right after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, you called them auctions. Now we call them salary cap drafts. Let's talk about it here. Nomination strategies, studs and duds, or a more balanced approach and what it is. And Dan, you love this format. So what do you want to tell people? Well, give me the intro to salary cap drafts.
Intro to salary caps is this, guys. Look, when you get that draft order and you're stuck with that 11th pick, and you can look at all of the data that shows there is an advantage to picking earlier in your snake drafts. The data is clear with that. And guess what a salary cap draft does? It completely removes all of that bias, all of that unfairness of just getting that 11th or 10th pick and being at the back end of that snake and getting those crappy players at the end of round three. And it gives you the opportunity to build your roster however you like. Everyone gets a budget of either 100 or 200 or whatever you pick. And you go around the room nominating players, whoever the heck you want. You can nominate Gabe Davis. You can nominate a sleeper you like early, or a sleeper that everyone likes that you don't like that you want to get money spent on. And you can build your roster however you like. So the best thing to do for a salary cap, in my mind, is create a strategy that starts with allocating a certain amount of your budget. Do this before your draft to certain positions, right? So you can do this based on your strategy. If you think that you can get, if you're in a one quarterback league and you know that, look, quarterback's pretty deep this year, right? I like the quarterback 11, quarterback 12, quarterback 13 by ADP. I'll wait. You can allocate maybe $3 to $7, even in a $200 budget, towards that position. I've seen them go. I just saw Kyler, who was it? No. Who's the sleeper? Trey Lance go for $3 in a 1QB auction or salary cap with 200 budget, because everyone had already filled their starters and there was no one left to bid these guys up. So yeah. You allocate a certain amount of money for each position and you attack. And one of my favorite strategies for nominations is nominate players you don't want. Get money spent on players you don't want early. So by the end of it, you have money left and there's still the players you like left. Now, if you draft a RB1 and your strategy going in was, I'm going to just play for one RB1 and I'm going to hero RB my strategy and load up on receivers and maybe a tight end, then you want to start nominating all the RB1s because you're not going to be bidding on these guys. You're not going to be spending your money there. Get other people to. So a key to the strategy for the salary cap draft for me, Adam, is to nominate the players you don't want.
Yeah,
and to nominate the players at positions you've already bought. If you've already paid for RB1 or wide receiver one, get all those wide receiver ones out there, because you're not going, unless your strategy is to buy two, which is impossible.
Right.
You know, I've seen some people go complete studs and duds on this thing and win leagues if they're really active and they do well on free agency. So there's so many different ways to play. One thing Adam brought up that I think is key, it's a little trick, but if you play with kickers and defenses still, then be the first to nominate them, because very rare that it's a win-win. Let me tell you why. Either somebody bids $2 and wastes their budget on a position that you shouldn't be spending on, or you just get like your highest ranked defense and kicker because you were the first to throw them out there.
Right.
So definitely.
Jamie does it all the time, right? So you take your number one DST, whoever it is, say it's the Bills, you just nominate them for $1. And most of the time, you're going to get them. And if you don't, someone else is going to bid $2 on them, and they shouldn't. And that extra dollar really does matter, even if it's a $100 versus $200 budget. I mean, you don't want to waste any money. So nomination strategies, Dan touched on it. We would say nominate, for the most part, players that you don't want and that are going to go for a lot of money. You want money to come off the board. You want people to spend that so that you have an advantage. I think the most important thing for me is every time I've done a salary cap draft, whether it has been baseball or football, it's always the same thing. Later on in the draft, there, when a lot of people are either out of money or basically out of money, don't have a lot of it for a max bid, that's when you get the values. And those players end up being the guys who go in the fourth and fifth rounds, you know, good players, not necessarily your stars, but though some of them could be. But I need to have money at the end. I hate sitting out the end. So that obviously changes if it's like a super deep league or, you know, a super chef. But in most leagues, I do not want to be the one who spends his money first, or I want to be someone who saves a big chunk of it for the end, because you're just going to clean up with these values, and it's going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Dak Prescott just went for $2. I spent $5 on Matthew Stafford a half hour ago. It's stuff like that. So it's not, that doesn't mean you can't be aggressive with certain players, but I'm going to fill out a lot of my roster spots, four of them maybe, which is a lot in fantasy football, with guys in the $7 to $12 range or something like that. And that's out of a $100 yep. budget, you know? So I would not be out of money at the end, because you're going to see a ton of great values and people going, oh my gosh, I can't believe this player went for this much. I shouldn't have spent all that money early on this player, you know? So you can definitely be aggressive early, but just make sure you're not doing all of that too early, because you're going to miss out on some steals later on.
Yeah, a few more rapid fire tips. I think Adam nails the most important one. You want to have buying power at the end, because you just get so much value on the Gabe Davises of the world and the, you know, the next tier. So you want to have and the best way to do that is just by having basically a core three strategy. This is kind of how I do it. You buy three important guys and then you kind of wait. You just sit and wait.
Yeah, like, I like that.
Like Adam says, you sit and you wait, and then everyone's spending and spending and spending. And by the end, you have the buying power, which is the most important thing in a salary cap draft. Now, a few other things I would put out there. One, never be the last. Never wait until the last player in a tier is left. Yeah. So if you need to get an RB1, you're waiting, and then there's one left. Guess what? You're locked into a bidding war with the other person that waited, and you're going to pay a terrible price higher than those RB1s. So never bet on wait for the last player in a tier. Also, what's very important in this is early on, the first and second players nominated tend to go for a value. Everyone's kind of got cold feet at the beginning. They don't want to buy the first player. So look for that early. If it's a player nominated early, like Christian McCaffrey.
I think that's not necessarily the case if it's a superstar that's nominated early. If somebody throws Jonathan Taylor out there, he's probably going to go for a ton.
Right.
But if someone throws Gabriel Davis out there,
throws like a, let's say you love a Aaron Jones, for example. Yeah. Someone throws an Aaron Jones out there early. That happens with a player like that a lot too. It just can't be like the first or second ranked player. Then obviously you're not going to get any value on that player. Another thing I would mention here is this. If your whole strategy is, let's say I want to get Travis Kelce and build my team around Travis Kelce, but I won't get Kelce if the price goes too high. Don't wait to nominate a player and just keep nominating players you don't want. Sometimes it's more important when you have like a strategy based on one player to get them out there early and see if you can afford it. See if you're going to take that player. Because if not, you're sitting, and this is not just Travis Kelce. This can go later in drafts for a specific receiver, a running back you like, or a quarterback. If you keep waiting and you don't nominate this player, and then eventually gets nominated, he goes to an insane price and you can't afford it, now your whole strategy is ruined. You don't have a backup plan. So sometimes it is good to get these guys out there and figure out, can I win this player and can I build my team around this player? One final thing is what Adam said earlier is true. If you want to not, if you like a sleeper, sometimes it's good to throw him out there during the period where everyone's buying the high value players, because everyone's kind of like, whatever. I don't know what the value is. I'm just not going to bid on him. And you can get him cheap like a Gabe Davis. But also at the same time, I like the strategy, Adam, of if I've done this draft before and in my head, and honestly, sometimes you can figure out how these drafts are going to go. If you've drafted with your league before and they have values out there, you can use the past data to your advantage. But if I have a player that's getting a lot of buzz but is way down, like a Dameon Pierce is a great example, I'll throw those types of players out there earlier rather than later, because I don't want them to get lost in the mix. And it's usually a player with a little less hype than Pierce. I don't want it to get to the point what Adam was describing before, which happens in every salary cap draft, is look, at the end, no one has money except for one person. So then these guys end up not going for much. But if you throw them out earlier when everyone has money, they end up getting paid way more than they end up going for way more than they should, or way more for their tier ultimately goes for, just because everyone had money at the time.
Right. So you're saying you want to nominate them and let someone else overpay.
If I don't like the player in that. Yep.
Yeah. Now I must say I've never done a 10 team salary cap league.
Okay.
So I don't know how my strategy would change, except I would basically approach it like we did a 10 team draft yesterday on Thursday. And I took Kyle Pitts in round three. This was a snake draft. And I took Lamar Jackson in round five, I think. So we had just said on the podcast earlier that day, in a 10-team league, you should try to be great at every position. So that means, you know, try to get a top whatever tight end. For me, it was top three, top five quarterback, whatever it is. That would, you know, I would keep that philosophy in a 10-team league. But 10-team league, you are, you know, much better off with a studs and duds strategy in a 10-team league, which would mean spending a lot of your money on just a few players
and then, you know, $1, $2 bids or whatever on some players to fill out your lineup or your bench, you can get away with that much more easily in a 10-team league because the waiver wire is better. And obviously your league doesn't end after the salary cap draft is done. So, but I guess what I said about good values being there at the end of every salary cap draft, I would assume that still applies in a 10-team league, but I couldn't tell you.
I play in a 10-team league every year, and it does still apply. Now, this is two quarterbacks. A lot more money gets spent on the quarterbacks, but even so, it's still going to apply. This is just how the nature of these salary cap drafts go. Everyone just furiously spends their money, and then at the end, there's one or two people with buying power, and the rest of the people are like nominating guys they want, and they get outbid by $1 or $2.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
You want to be the buying power person.
All right, so I hope those help you, and we're always happy to answer your questions.
Adam, one final thing I want to get out there. Please, please, everybody, try it. Convince your league. Give it a shot. Play salary cap, because I am certain of this. And I want you to share your story with me if you do decide to go salary cap with your home league, because every single person I've convinced to do this, once their league goes to salary cap style, they never go back. They never even consider going back to Snake. I really, truly believe Snake is playing Madden on rookie level, and salary cap is playing Madden on the all pro level, legendary level, whatever the highest level is. There's just such a difference in skill level when you have the whole player pool to choose from, and you have to assess value on the entire player pool versus a Snake, where you really only have to assess value on the players going in your ADP range.
Now, before we move on, I am here to save you money. Everybody, get out your phone and download the SeatGeek app or go to SeatGeek.com. Is there something you want to go to at the end of the summer, into the fall? Anybody want to go to a football game? I'm here to save you $20 off your first purchase on SeatGeek. Just use the promo code FFT. This is always one of the favorite sponsorships for our listeners out there, so take advantage of it. I use SeatGeek every single time I want to go to a game or a concert or anything where I need to buy tickets. SeatGeek is the place to be. They take tickets from all over the web and put them in one place, so you don't have to go looking all around the internet to find seats. You just go to SeatGeek, you put the event or the team or the concert or whatever you're excited to see, put it in there. SeatGeek's going to show you not only which seats are available, but the best values. They have these big green dots that say, this is a great value, buy these seats. Or these red dots that say, these are kind of overpriced. Maybe you should look at the green dots. So I love SeatGeek. I use it every time. I've told so many friends and family members about it, and they all love SeatGeek too. And now I'm telling all of you, my extended family, about SeatGeek. And what you should do is go to SeatGeek.com and use the promo code FFT. You can get $20 off your first purchase with that promo code at SeatGeek.com or on the SeatGeek app. Again, that promo code is FFT for $20 off your first SeatGeek order. SeatGeek, get your seat in a seat. Download the app today. Let's read some emails. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. Can you take Dan Schneier? All right.
Is that where the Creed thing came from? I wasn't sure where you're going with the higher thing. Thought it was a higher Schneier thing, but then I didn't really understand the Mets pulling. But we'll get some good stuff.
No, it had nothing to do with it. Two totally separate thoughts. You're a fake Mets
Everyone
fan.
Everyone hates my entertainment. I am a fake Mets
Ed,
fan.
Ed, your name rhymes with higher. So,
and I have bad entertainment takes, apparently.
Well, it's just that you don't watch movies. So how could we?
Did you see what happened on Twitter this week? No. My takes got so bad on the podcast, Adam, that someone actually tweeted at Heath and said, look, do we need to start this? You know how Heath has the threat of bad Azer takes. He's like, do we need to start the threat of bad Schneier takes? And I was like, oh God, how did I get dragged into this?
I am fine with that. Oh, my mortal enemy is in the YouTube chat. His name is Don, and he likes to call me this. What a loser.
Wow.
What a loser.
What a loser.
But thank you for viewing. Hit like.
Donate to St. Jude.
Yeah, you loser. Anyway, actually, in all seriousness, we have 161 people watching right now and only 14 likes. So please hit the like button.
Come on, hit that, smash that like button.
Would appreciate that. Okay, emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Then we'll do Apple Podcasts, and then we'll get some YouTube stuff. I had an interesting thing happen. This is from Caleb. Interesting thing happened in one of my drafts. 12-team PPR. I went with McCaffrey, Fournette, DJ Moore, and Justin Herbert. That is a hell of a start. And then Mike Williams in round 5. And here's where it gets interesting. Godwin and Mahomes were available in round 6. I couldn't believe either were still there, but Mahomes especially. I looked at the teams behind me and I thought to myself, I can't let one of these, what I thought were good teams, get Patrick Mahomes so late. So I took Mahomes mainly to hurt them, but also to maybe make a trade when a quarterback goes down for a better player. So he took Herbert in the 4th and he took Mahomes in the 6th. Why are you've been shaking your head since I started reading this email. What is your deal here?
No, I've been shaking my head since the Herbert 4th round pick, but go on.
What are you talking about? He got McCaffrey, Fournette, DJ Moore, Justin
Mahomes
Herbert.
Mahomes being available in the 6th is the exact reason why you can never take Justin Herbert.
Well, he didn't
in the
know that.
That's how it always goes.
Mahomes in the 6th, that's not how it always goes.
QBs drop. There's so much value at QB. You can get Russell Wilson in the 9th, Tom Brady in the 9th. What receiver are you getting in the 9th that's going to compare to the receiver running back in the 4th?
Okay, but he's still got Mike Williams in the 5th round. Like, his team's anyway, I would not have taken Mahomes in that situation. I understand it. I think wide receiver or quarterback trade value is less than you think.
So small.
And that's
one of the biggest fallacies
in
fantasy, I think, Adam, and this goes for quarterbacks or when teams overdraft a lot of running backs or receivers and say, you know what, I'm stacked at one position, I'll be able to trade, is this idea that you're always able to trade. It is so hard to trade in season. It's going to be so hard for you to find any kind of value for Mahomes because no one has any depth at that point. No one can give you a running back or receiver. They don't. If they give you that, what's going to be left for that? So, you know, they're just going to be happy scooping up the, I don't know, Tua Tagovailoa or the Jameis Winston or whoever breaks out from that bottom tier. They'll be happy just getting that off the wire instead of, you know, paying that premium from a home. So I can't be more against this.
Scott Fish is in the chat, says wait on Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr all day.
Thank you for being here, Scott Fish.
Scott Fish is the man.
Scott Fish is a great guy. He's really the man.
This is from DeMarcus.
He helped potentially save my job this weekend.
From DeMarcus. I'm thinking about putting a priority on matching up a quarterback with their wide receiver, this SZN. I mean, really? You can't even spell season in that context?
What's wrong with that? He wants to have a little... What's that's not bad.
I hate the SZN. I hate it from day one.
You've hated the SZN? All right.
Yeah. Which team combo do you like from best to least? Josh Allen and Gabriel Davis, Kyler Murray and Marquise Brown, Trey Lance and Brandon Ayuk.
At cost, is this the question? Or
I guess not. I don't know. I mean,
all right. Allen and Gabe Davis.
Yeah, straight up, it's Allen and Gabe Davis.
And Kyler and Marquise Brown, and then Trey Lance and Brandon Ayuk.
Now, at cost.
At cost, let's say. At cost, I like Lance and Ayuk 1, Kyler and Brown 2, Josh Allen and Davis. There's just no team in a 1QB league that I can see myself having Josh Allen on.
I'm going to say Kyler Murray and Marquise Brown would be my favorite at cost.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to our next
team. Have you drafted any Josh Allen this year, Adam?
Not at all.
No, right?
No.
Of course. So, I mean.
I would like to draft Justin Herbert because I think, you know, you can get him a little bit later, maybe a full round later, maybe even more than Josh Allen. And I think he could throw. I think he could win the MVP this year. Throw for 5,300 yards and 50 touchdowns.
Yes.
I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. He hasn't. He's such a great quarterback, and he's only in his third year. He hasn't had that career season yet. His best numbers are ahead of him, and it could be this year. And he could just be. To me, he even has more. I think he has more upside than Josh Allen. I know that sounds crazy. Ooh. Yeah, I know. I think Allen has a safer floor, but I think Herbert might. He really might be the best passer, most talented passer in the game. He and Mahomes. And it's hard to not put Rodgers in there too. But
you know how painful it is to talk about Herbert when I know that one, Dave Gettleman, who is the worst GM in the history of the Giants, but also for some odd reason was right about Justin Herbert and absolutely loved Herbert, scouted 3 of his games. And then he just decided to go back to school in 2019 because his brother was coming to Oregon. And it's just so sad, Adam, because I know if Herbert had declared that year, the Giants would have drafted him instead of Daniel Jones. And like, we'd be going into this season with a completely different outlook. The next 10 years of my life, maybe 15 years of my life, would be so different. And so,
yeah, well, you sound
so
like
painful.
You sound like the Jets fans who regret Peyton Manning going back to college. So
yeah, it is a lot like that. It's a really painful experience just because quarterback's everything. And then I don't know where the Giants are going to find one, but hopefully one day.
This next year, man, there's going to be like 5 or 6 in the first round. This is the best year of quarterback in a long time. Get ready for it. All right, from Cameron. Who would you pick as a core? Like, which core do you like better? Core A,
Javonte Williams, Chase Edmonds, Elijah Moore, Christian Kirk, Miles Sanders, and Rashad Penny. Javonte, okay. Edmonds, Elijah Moore, Christian Kirk, Miles Sanders, Rashad Penny. Or Javonte Williams, Elijah Moore, and Rashad Penny. Maybe I should just eliminate those three.
Yeah, I was going to say.
All right. Yeah. All right, so then if you have Javonte Williams, Elijah Moore, and Rashad Penny, which trio do you like better? Edmonds, Kirk, and Miles Sanders? Or Marquise Brown, Rashad Bateman, and Chris Olave?
What do you think my answer is going to be?
Definitely the Marquise Brown, Rashad Bateman, Chris Olave.
Definitely. For me, it's not close.
Yeah, I agree. This is from Al in Toronto. At the beginning of this month, I started prepping for my 12-team PPR snake draft as I have for the last 8 years. But suddenly there have been a series of changes and it's become a 16-team salary cap draft. And I'm in over my head. How should I use my money in a 16-team salary cap league?
Yeah, this is a great question because I've never played in 16-team for cap and I think it's going to make a massive difference there. I think you have to understand, it's, let's say, so assuming the cap is 100 right now, and you could just double everything I say if the answer is 200. Let's say, let's go 200. That's more common. If you start to see in this $200 cap league, the top backs going in the 50s, things of that nature, wide receivers, maybe the 60s, the don't spend that because ultimately money will run out even faster as you go to a bigger league is my assumption. I've never played 16. So at that point, you just want to be a team that can get a starting lineup that's legitimate.
Yeah.
And you could do that with the value of those wide receivers in those tier three and four. Just load up and get your whole starters filled with those types of guys, the Batemans, the Gabe Davises, the Amon-Ra St. Browns of the world.
I don't know. I mean, I would focus more on the Sutton, the Mike Williams, Allen Robinson.
Those might be expensive too, Adam.
They will be expensive. Teams. Like, I don't want to make it seem like you should not have any great players on your team and you should just save all your money for the end.
Right, Adam, but we've talked before about maybe a three-man core of top players. I would say a one-man core at most would spend most at one player because, look, there's so much money to be spent. And once you, it's not like a 10 or a 12 where there's going to be a free agency. The free agency is going to be unbelievably bad in a 16-team league, just unbelievably bad. So I would want to fill all my starters with capable players.
All right, from Al, a different Al, Javonte Williams in the third round or James Conner in the sixth round, non-PPR?
James Conner for me. I'm a big Conner stan.
Yeah, it's got to be Conner. All right, I got to go a little faster here, Dan. Sorry about that. Yep. Let's speed it up. This is Apple Podcast time. No name on this one. I have the 11th overall pick, and it's a keeper league. Should I keep DeAndre Swift in the third round or Stephon Diggs in the sixth round?
Oh, I'm going Diggs in the sixth. I know he said there's a lot of running back keepers, but it's in my nature to go Diggs in the sixth there.
Yeah, you got to go Diggs. From Reg Miller. If you are really Reggie Miller, just know you ruined my childhood. When does it make sense to draft both Kelsey and Pitts in a 12-team half PPR league?
You want to talk about fake fans, Adam. I am an admittedly fake Knicks fan. I will only be back into the Knicks once they're good. And I am honest and open with that. I will watch the Mets even if they're bad. I will not watch the Knicks when they're bad. I don't love basketball enough. But let me just say this. I don't think it makes sense to do this. The same thing we talked about earlier. It's so much harder than you think to trade.
Yeah, I mean, you could, in theory, start both of them, but I would say it would have to be like Pitts in round five or something.
Sure.
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, my answer was bad. Adam's answer was better. I agree now.
From Arrow Row, how would you rather start from the 10 spot in a 12-team, two-receiver league, PPR, but there are two flex? So you have the 10 spot in a 12-team league.
Okay.
Kelsey, Barkley, Mike Williams. That's start one. Kelsey, Barkley, Mike Williams, or Kamara, Barkley, Kyle Pitts?
Oh, this is like the order of how they'd be drafted. Okay.
So you're going to take Barkley in round two. Would you rather
have both
Kelsey and Mike Williams or Kamara and Kyle Pitts?
I like both, but I'm such a big fan of the elite tight end that I go with the Kelsey build.
I would go with the Kamara build. I like Kamara a lot more than Mike Williams.
I do like Kamara a lot too. You know what? Oh, it's close. I'm not as sold on Pitts as a lot of other people are, I guess is where my problem is.
Okay. From Charlie Hustle, subject Dave Matthews and four stars. This is in reference to Heath going to a Dave Matthews concert and having his son draft for him.
Are you a Dave Matthews fan, Adam?
I'm not, but
neither is Charlie Hustle. He says, I almost had to skip this episode because of the inexcusable Dave Matthews take. Hated him in high school, and he still blows. Yeah. So,
I mean, every Jewish boy who's ever gone to sleepaway camp has at least been exposed to a ton of Dave Matthews Band. So I have been exposed to a bunch. I don't hate him as much as other people do.
My favorite Dave Matthews song is Ants March. I don't really like Dave Matthews, but I will say that Smells Like Teen Spirit is considered the best rock song of the 90s. And I would say Ants Marching is the second best rock song of the 90s because it is, to me, I mean, Dave Matthews is the reason we have like Jason Mraz and Guster and all these acoustic rock bands, you know. They're the most influential in their world. And I don't love their music, but I respect and appreciate their music. And he himself is just one of the most talented musicians. Unbelievable. And Ants Marching is like a next level song. It's just, it fires me up. I love that song. All right. This is from Druba. Dear Dalton, Huntley, Flacco, and Foles.
Nick Foles, Joe Flacco.
Yeah, what do they have in common?
These are Ravens quarterbacks. Or no.
Andy Foles Dalton and Nick Foles?
No. Tyler Huntley.
I don't know.
They small schools, all from small school, all from division. Where did Foles play his college ball? No, he played at Arizona.
Yeah, it was Arizona. Yep.
Doesn't even
and
make any
Dalton
sense.
Was TCU.
Right. And Dalton played TCU. Yeah.
Yeah. You lose.
Nothing.
All right, here's the question. I got a little carried away in my 14-team league with a late-round QB strategy. 4 point per passing touchdown. Everyone picked up two or more QBs. I have a great team otherwise, but I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel. Who would you keep as your weekly starter? Davis Mills, Baker Mayfield, Matt Ryan, or Jameis Winston?
Jameis Winston for me. By far the most upside of this group.
And a pretty decent floor, I'd say. From Tuna.
An okay floor.
I think that's almost the same as pretty decent. Hey,
yeah, it is exactly the same.
Hey, Bart, Lynn, Brett, and Aaron. Those are Packers.
Yes, they are.
I have the second overall pick in my 12-team PPR keeper league. I kept Derrick Henry in round 3. Is there a case for Eckler over McCaffrey, or do I go for Kupp to secure a top running back and wide receiver?
Yeah, there is a case for Eckler over McCaffrey. It's not a case. It's not a take I would have. I mean, I'm going McCaffrey over him, but one thing that is not being baked enough into the McCaffrey profile, everyone talks about the injuries, yada, yada. Ben McAdoo is the offensive coordinator there. Ben McAdoo, the failed Giants head coach, a guy who did not really feature the running back in the pass game a lot during his tenure with the Giants, was really low on that. They're just spread one-on-one matchups on the outside, slants and flats. That's his entire offense. Maybe it'll change. Matt Rhule might change that. I don't know. I'm scared of that. And no one's really scared of that. Also, Baker Mayfield wasn't exactly the most target-heavy quarterback to the running backs during his tenure with the Browns. So both of those two things aren't being baked in enough. Eckler's on a much better offense, but I would still go CMC there. For me, it's CMC Kupp, then Eckler.
Okay. And next up is from Win Chris. I have a question about what running back to take in my draft. Second pick, Ninja 3 Keeper League. Is that just a typo or is a ninja?
I have no idea. It might be a kind of keeper league that we don't know, Adam.
I kept Dalvin and Tyreek Hill and Javonte Williams. So two of the running backs, basically this is Aaron Jones versus Saquon Barkley. Who do you like? It is standard scoring.
I still like Barkley way more.
Standard scoring is the only format I would even consider Barkley over Aaron Jones.
Why are you taking Aaron Jones over Barkley, Adam? Can you tell me?
I got to see something from Barkley. I mean,
it's just the unproven. Yeah.
The Giants are awful. Their offensive line is going to stink. I'm sorry. I know they made some upgrades. I think it's going to stink.
I don't think it's going to stink at all in the run game.
I think it's going to stink. I think you have way too much hope. I think you have way too much hope in Evan Neal as a rookie right tackle.
He's looked great.
They're so banged up already on the offense.
And as a run blocker, I should say, he's looked great. And he has not looked great as a pass blocker yet.
I know Aaron Jones is going to have an enormous role in the passing game and a solid role in the running game.
This is standard, though.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's even a question in standard. But okay. I'm still going to take Aaron Jones. Like Aaron Jones's pedigree is not what Barkley's is. Barkley was the number one running back in fantasy once. Right. But Jones was top 5 2 years in a row. All right. Next
I miss
question.
The days, Adam, back in, I miss the days in early July and June where we were still doing Jamie's mocks every week and I was getting Barkley at the end of round two, sometimes like mid round three.
Yeah. And I was nervous to take him. From Ollie size, keeper choice, 10 team half PPR, can keep for 3 years. They're worth a round earlier every year. I have Lamb in the ninth for a second year. I have Cup in the fourth, Marquise Brown in the 12th, Rashad Penny in the sixth. So who would you take? Cup in the fourth round, Marquise Brown in the 12th round, or Rashad Penny in the 16th? 10 teams.
Okay, so these all look like people who are, you can keep them again the year after. For me, it's going to be Cooper Kupp for sure in the fourth. Look, I can see him being another top 10 pick again next year. There's nothing really to stop him except for Matt Stafford getting injured or retiring. That rapport is... It's amazing. And you have Sean McVay, who's just lining him up in spots to get him open every single snap from those tight splits. So, yeah, it's Kupp for me.
Last question from Apple Podcasts is from Shine Dog. Dear Cheese, Marlin, Jones, and Strong. Those are Max.
Yep.
I am in a 12-team Superflex PPR keeper league. We keep up to two play. I'm going to skip to the question. Who are your favorite very late round targets who could be worth a much higher pick next year?
Keeper wise. So one of the best ones for me is Kenneth Walker. He's injured right now, so you're going to get him insanely cheap. Rashad Penny signed a 1-year deal with the Seahawks, so he's most likely gone next year, and it's going to be a Ken Walker backfield there. So he is by far my favorite at the running back position. Let's look at some receivers that I like super late, Adam, that could be keepers next year. Any of those rookies that are getting bad hype right now in camp, Treylon Burks running with the second or third team, buy the dip. He's a keeper next year. Christian Watson, somehow just you can get him still insanely late. Buy the dip there because he obviously hasn't practiced much. Same thing goes for Sky Moore, who's running with like the second team. So that's what I would say there. Tight end, nothing. Don't even bother. There's nothing to even think about there. If you're going to go tight end, at least take like a maybe like a Greg Dulcich or one of the rookies in this year's class. But I don't see it really happening there. Quarterback's another weird one for me, Adam. I don't really see too much.
It is super. Value. It's super flex.
Okay,
so
I know
they're going to be pushed
up.
Anyway.
Properly priced, so maybe it would be Tua, I guess, or Fields or Lawrence, but that's about it there.
Okay, and it's time. I only have about 3 minutes left. Sorry, folks. Let's do some YouTube questions. Fire away, and we will answer them. This is from Michael. I drafted Pierce in the 12th round last weekend. Should I capitalize on the hype and trade for another underrated player? If yes, who to target?
I think only if your league is full, if you can find someone in your league who's fully bought into the Pierce hype and like that fifth round range that we keep seeing him go, not keep, but have seen him go recently, you get like a fifth round type value for him. Yes. Otherwise, if you're not getting that much, don't go for like a random sleeper or underrated player. He's still, you know, we still like him.
From Ryan, I need you your help. Half PPR keeper league, Cup in the second, Mike Williams in the eighth, or Amon-Ra St. Brown in the 12th.
This is so tough. There's so much value on Williams and Amon-Ra, but I'm going Cup and Williams.
Is he keeping two?
You can only keep two, it looks like, right? Or all if you keep
I don't know how many. I would keep
Oh, if you keep it one, it's Mike Williams.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. From Ben, would you target both Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon?
No, never do this. I'm not a fan of drafting two people from the same backfield at all. You're just capping your upside.
Yeah. I think they can coexist, especially in PPR. If I'm going to do it, I think I'm going to have to feel like I'm getting a steal on AJ Dillon.
Sure. That was what I was going to say. If you can get AJ Dillon two rounds or one round later than ADP, sure, but his ADP is super high.
Ryan wants to know, if you're doing a 12-team PPR salary cap draft, what percentage of salary would you use on your top three core players if it's a $200 budget?
Great, great question. And my typical thing is I'll try to buy a player in the low 40s, in the low 30s, and in the high 30s. So right there, we can look at that and let's say 35, 65, around 105, 110.
This is from Mr. TD. Any general tips for my first Superflex league?
Yeah. Yes. General tips are do not wait at quarterback. It is a valuable resource. It's the only resource that runs out in the entire player pool. Get quarterbacks and make sure you get a third quarterback. A lot of teams skip on this in Superflex. Make sure you get a third quarterback. That's plenty.
Yeah, I have more to say on that. So don't wait on QB1. You don't have to take a QB2 with your first two picks. I think QB2, also, it's a huge difference if it's a 10-team or 12-team league. Huge difference. 12-team league is much harder, and I think I'm probably going to have two quarterbacks in my first three picks, maybe two in my first two. More likely to take two quarterbacks with my first two picks if I'm drafting late. If I have an early pick, I feel pretty good about who's going to be there in round three. So sure. I wouldn't be too afraid to take Jonathan Taylor or something like that. At, let's say like fifth. That's probably where I'd take Jonathan Taylor. But I would say general rule of thumb, in a 12-team Superflex, two quarterbacks with your first three picks, you should be fine. 10-team league, all rules are out the window in a 10-team league. It's just like they're just easy. I'm sorry. All right, last question. It's not to say I don't like them, but they're easy. Best standard league picks, top
Adam was
four.
So thrilled during last year's, yesterday's 10-team mock we did. He's like, I love this team. Everything's amazing. Everything's going great. And I think that's how we all felt. In
you
that
should. You better feel that way, yeah. All right, from Jay, top four picks in standard scoring leagues.
Top four pick standard scoring. For me, it's still going to be, I don't care about standard, Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Cooper Kupp, and Justin Jefferson. I don't care. They're the highest scores.
Not for me. It's
Who is here for? Who are you
Taylor, McCaffrey, Derrick Henry for sure.
I'm okay putting Henry up there.
This is non-PPR. And I would probably go with Mixon at four. And then Eckler is five. Sure? No, I'm not. But I am sure about the top three.
Last year.
What's that?
Look at Cooper Kupp's season last year.
He almost had
200 targets.
It's not happening again. It's not happening.
Yeah. All right,
we got to go. Thank you all very much. Talk to you on Monday, recapping the rest of the preseason action and giving you our final sleepers, breakouts, and busts. Can you dream me? Remember, write a parody for Dan Schneier. And we'll have a great weekend, everybody. See you later. And yes, I'm watching
our poker tournament.
Yes,
poker
I'm watching
tournament Monday.
Oh, poker tournament, yes. And yes, I'm watching House of the Dragon. That was another YouTube comment.
So, oh, what do you think?
Very, very good. Very into a terrific debut. See you later.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.